I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Doug Whaley, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. And Doug always pops in here with energy. He's spry, he's in great shape, but especially around football season. And now we're in the thick of it, Doug, and good morning to you. How are things?
Well, you got to look at it. All local sports football teams won this weekend. Won't be able to say that next week.
Local-ish.
Is he talking junk already? Is that what's happening?
I think so.
I'm just saying. I mean local-ish. I mean, somebody's going to have to come in here with a sad face. Are there any bets on the table here?
There actually aren't right now, is there?
I think the loser should have to eat a Zin.
Well, what's that going to do?
Just swallow one whole. I don't know what it would do. I should Google that during the break. Well, I'll do it now. What happens if you eat a Zin?
You'd be sick.
Yeah.
But what's that going to do for like a bet? Like that would.
Yeah.
It'd be really bad for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicotine poisoning is a severe medical condition caused by ingesting excessive amounts of nicotine, even though it's not fatal, blah, blah, blah. All right, we're not doing that. We'll think of something.
Yeah, got to do something.
We'll think of something. We'll do something. I'm not incredibly confident about the game. Defensively for West Virginia, not feeling outstanding. Pitt's offense, incredibly explosive, as you've seen. Real quick, before we get into the Steelers, dive headfirst into them. And we didn't play Ben's comments earlier about Justin Fields. That's my fault. So we'll play that in a moment. But early thoughts on Pitt?
I'll say this. I'll do a quick story. So I played with a guy, Reuben Brown, first-round pick for the Bills, and a couple years into his career, and he played with Jim Kelly. And I was talking to him. I said, what's the biggest difference between college football and pro football? And he said, Doug, the biggest difference, and I thought he was going to say the money, the lifestyle, all this stuff. He says, when you have a true quarterback that you believe in, he can go out in that first half and throw three picks, and everybody still believes they can win. And that's what Eli Holstein is garnering in that locker room right now. It's a testament to him. It's a testament to the culture that Narduzzi has built over there. And I'll tell you this much. I went over there and I watched the film today. As bad as Eli played, the one thing we have to be very excited about is the offensive coordinator. They had so many guys wide open that he missed. And I'm not knocking Eli.
He's a redshirt freshman. It happens.
Redshirt freshman. He's going to have some ups and downs. But he willed that team to win. But I'm so excited about that offensive coordinator because the scheme that he is – throwing out there, they're going to be able to put up points against anybody.
And they got speed for days.
Yes, they do.
All over that field.
So, yeah, excited about that. And now let's get into the Steelers.
So, Ben Roethlisberger, the Football and Podcast, is back with Spence. And, of course, Ben was asked about Justin Fields' performance.
All in all, you asked a guy not to lose the game and to do enough to win the game. He did that. He got us into field goal range when he needed to. He made the plays at the end of the half. He threw the ball to George down the field when he needed to. He extended plays with his legs when he needed to. I thought, all in all, he did enough to win that game, and I thought he did a great job. Did he A-plus? No. C? No. I'd give him a solid B or B-plus. Could he be... Yeah, does he have the potential and the capability to go out and go 35 of 40 for 300 and some yards and five? Sure. Could he run for that? Sure. But what you asked him to do on a short week, short notice, against what people were talking, I don't know much about him, but people were talking about them being a good defense. What he did, great job.
Your thoughts, Doug?
Man, I've been battling all week about this. So what I was going to say, one, I look at it as, and everybody's like a short week, but he took 90% of the snaps in the preseason. And they just didn't bring in a whole new playbook for Atlanta. So he knew the plays. And he had been working with this first team. So I'm struggling with saying a short week there. Because, right? I mean, Russell Wilson didn't play very much, and he didn't take a lot of first-team snaps. So that excuse I'm struggling to buy into. Did he do enough to win? Absolutely. No doubt about it. And the other thing I'm struggling with is when Coach Tomlin says, you need to make the routine plays routinely, he wasn't doing that early. He kind of settled in and got it at the second half, second quarter, third quarter, whatever. But when you look at the shots, when he did take shots, he completed them. I say he had two NFL, maybe three NFL-type throws. And one of them, I think, with the rollout, that was a scheme. There was no one around him and no one around Pickens. But it was still a good
throw. Boy, did he uncork that thing, though.
Yes, he had a good throw. The rest of it, you could throw a high school guy and do the same thing.
Wow. Mm.
Think about it.
So if Russ were healthy, you'd go to Russ.
Yes. Just to prove to me that he can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is where I keep going back and forth, and I hate to do this because I hate a guy that plays both sides of the fence. You take a stand and that. But then that's probably what they asked him to do. So I don't want to knock Justin that much. I'm glad he's going to start this next game, and hopefully they take the reins off so you can find it. Maybe they're saying, let's crawl, let's walk. So that's it. So I'm struggling to say, I can't go out there and say, he's the future and he should be start without Russ having a chance to show what he can do. Because think about it. They didn't score a touchdown. They won the game. That's the ultimate goal. But I saw a stat, something like, what, most of his air yards were under 5 yards?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All that stuff. So high school guys can do that. And again, it's not a knock on Justin. They probably put the reins on him. So let's see. Give him a little more. And now if this week they come out and he throws it probably for maybe 200, but it's air yards that are, let's get it up to 5. Then I say, okay, I see the progress, and maybe it's them just keeping the reins on. So it's TBD in my opinion, but I still think unless he goes out there against Denver, throws for, I'd say, 250 and 3 scores, and really looks like, all right, this guy was getting held back from what he could do, and it wasn't him, I still think you got to go back to Russ.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. Like, what does he need to do to keep that spot if Russ is healthy next week? But do you think that they will, with your pulse right now and watching that game and knowing that it was not a short week, but a short week, he was asked to go in there on middle of Thursday and then you only have a Friday practice. Do you think they will take the handcuffs off? Do you think that they are comfortable enough, or are they like, hey, we're on the road again? We still have a young offensive line. We want to play conservative. We want to protect the football, and we want to get out of there just with the win.
With Tomlin, that's what they're going to do. But to me, again, with that game plan, then you can't truly say that Russell Wilson should not be the starter next week. Because what they're doing right now, and I don't blame them. I would sign up too. If your backup's in there, you want to make sure your backup doesn't lose you the game, and that's what he did. You want a backup that can go in and keep you 500 while the starter's out. And that's right now he's above that. So let's roll with it. I just want to temper that, oh, he should be the starter right now. You don't know what Russ could have had the same game plan and hit for 330 and 3 touchdowns. You don't know. I think you still got it. Because you can now you know what you got in Justin. Well, you think you know. It's one game. You need consistency. That's the whole thing. Can he go out and at least perform at that level or even more this next game, and you're like, okay, let's go. Let's keep it going. But I still say, let me see what you got in Wilson because you know you can always go back to the young guy.
Doug, you ever seen a quarterback push a blocking sled?
If he lost a bet?
Maybe that's what we should do, Doran.
Right.
Let's go out there, push the blocking sled.
Yes.
I think I'd be better at that than you, though.
What makes you say that?
Well, wow.
Career in the NFL?
In thongs.
In thongs. Yeah.
In thongs. Thongs, thongs, thongs. Have the thong song playing, too.
Yep. Why does it always come back to thongs?
Because you need to do that.
Yes.
And you're trying to get out of it.
Everyone wants to see me
pay
in
your bets.
Thong.
Pay your bets.
Dora needs to get a West Virginia tat. Let's do that tomorrow. What do you think? We'll do it when we interview Narduzzi. Just Coach, how you feel about the offense this week?
Now here's a question. Mm-hmm. If you have to finally pay the bet, will you manscape?
You have no idea, buddy, how loaded a question that is and how much needs to be scaped. Like,
I hope so.
We are talking about significant scapage needing to go down.
Sick.
Yeah.
And I'm talking mostly on the rear end.
That's sickening.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen...
Oh, no. Here's the bet.
Uh-huh.
You got to get your rear end waxed. The loser has to get their rear end waxed. Oh. That's a good bet.
It'd be like waxing Elmo for me.
Cookie Monster.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot that needs to get waxed from back there. A fan morning show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'll get to more of the blocking sled stuff coming up. Also, want Doug's opinion on what he saw more out of the Arthur Smith offense. Is Tomlin asking for trouble here? Russ probably thinks he could play. Kind of a big game for Russ. Is he barking up schism tree here? We'll get into all that and more with Doug throughout the rest of the hour. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
During a previous break, Doran scared Callis, and no shtick at all here. We thought Callis might have had a heart episode, so schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. And Callis, I hope you hear me loud and clear there, man. I was trying to tell him during one of the break, go get looked at. Go get yourself checked out. But I always sound like this. I always sound like I'm like half joking. Seriously, get her done.
Then you made a mistake. You said, I'm joking. Wait, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, I didn't help myself.
Very confusing.
Classic Crowley putting his foot in his mouth.
Yep.
Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. It is a Wednesday. It is the first football season Wednesday with Doug Whaley. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Is Tomlin asking for trouble here? Doug, Russell Wilson probably circled this game on the schedule before he even signed with the Steelers. Did I go with the Giants? Did I go with the Steelers? Oh, Steelers are going to play Denver week two. Feel pretty good I'm going to be healthy enough to play in that game. Does he run the risk of ticking off Russell Wilson and or fracturing the locker room here? Russell Wilson's a captain.
I'd say this. If Russell Wilson isn't that team guy that he's professed to be since the day he got here, with all his social media posts and all the perfect placement of, oh, I'm just here to be a Steeler and do all this, then his cover's blown. So
you got to be a good soldier or else.
You got to be a good soldier. Everything you've tried to build yourself up as since the day you came in the league can be shot down right now by saying you're being selfish because you want to go against play against the Denver Broncos, and you're not healthy, and you'd put your team in harm's way. Not only your team, but yourself in harm's way for a vendetta. That's not the Russell Wilson persona that you've built. So I'm excited to see. If it is, then be like, you're a phony. If it's not, you're true. And I'm all right. Then I'm signing up. That you're not a phony, and that's who you truly are, so you can't knock the guy.
If he actually really wanted to play, like, wouldn't he just go into the trainers and say, like, I'm good?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. we were talking earlier saying that he may be mad that they told him that he couldn't play, but if he really wanted to play, he'd go in the trainers and be like, yeah, I mean, he's going to get rehab on it no matter what.
Yeah, it's
so you're not going to walk in there on Thursday morning or, you know, whatever day it was and say, oh, my calf is tight. I don't know if he did it before practice or during practice, but
He did it during practice.
But if you're doing it during practice, you're like, all right, I'm going to battle through this.
Battle through this. And just like, hey, I need some preventative measures. I want to make sure the game's coming up. Let's do some treatment just to make sure the next couple days I'm above and beyond ready to go.
Here's the other thing. To your point, Doran, he has to feel confident that he's the starting quarterback or else he's probably not self-reporting the injury. Unless it happened, it was so obvious he tweaks it during practice. But we're talking about tightness. We're not talking about, you know, pain or anything like that. At least that's my understanding. Here's another thing. Let's say Justin Fields does go out and throws it all over the yard, runs it all over the yard, accounts for like four touchdowns. At some point, Russell Wilson, if he is a good soldier, is going to get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Justin Fields missed three games. The year before that, he missed two games. The year before that, he was ready to go in 12 and only played 10 of them. So he has missed 5 games in 3 years in his NFL career. He runs around. He takes hits. Russ will get his chance at some point, even if Justin Fields is playing well. So I think you have to keep that in mind, too, if you're Russell Wilson, as like that dangling carrot.
Mm-hmm. And I just, it's just interesting, especially with that calf. I just got to see, even if either foot, I mean, either leg, if it's his plant foot or his push-off leg, that's pretty tough when you're trying to throw the ball, and not to mention if he's trying to mix in a little of his mobility and run the ball. So I can see, hey, Russ, calm down. This is a 16-game season now. We need you at 100%. And this is why we brought this guy in. That's how I would set him down. This is why we brought this guy in. If you're a team player, this guy's here to keep us afloat until you get back. Don't worry about anything. Just get back healthy. You're our guy. Until you're not.
What were these strength coaches thinking? Like, is that almost fireable? Like, I know.
Well, where'd he come from? Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
He's a college guy.
Mm-hmm.
You do that type of stuff in college.
Right.
Now, is it fireable?
What you said.
Yep.
Is it fireable? I would say it would be not hireable. That's something they should have went through in the interview process. Like, what is your conditioning test? What do you want each position group to do? And if he said, yeah, these quarterbacks are going to be pushing sleds, and you still hire them, I don't think it's fireable. I think it's you start looking at the process of hiring and who signed off on the hire.
Yeah, I can't believe it happened. I do wonder what Russell Wilson's role in all that was.
Right, that's another thing. Did Russ say, hey, I want to do this? This
mm-hmm.
is like, so I'm not putting it on until you're there and you know exactly
right.
what happened. But
he's just goofy enough that you can think it's possible, right?
Oh, Lyman, I'm going to be with my guys.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do this. So you just don't know. So I don't want to. But if it was strictly, this is what we do, quarterbacks do this, and you're going to hire me from college, and this is, I'm going to implement the same thing, then you don't look at the guy. You look at who signed off on hiring him.
Doran, you made this point earlier, too. Like, let's say you play Russ in this game. And Joe Burrow last year, that lingered all season long, or the year before, whatever year that was. And then you have Aaron Rodgers. He blows out his Achilles. A lot of time the Achilles, I don't know if you guys know this, they're attached. It's not good. So that happens last season. Let's say Russ goes out there and bang, it just goes. Or he can't protect himself, and so he takes another injury. Now Justin Fields is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Justin Fields, Kyle Allen's your guy. So do you even allow Justin Fields to be Justin Fields when you know your backup is Kyle Allen? If, what I'm saying here, Russ gets hurt, then the Justin Fields that has to play, is he even going to get to be the guy that you need him to be to, as Mike Tomlin would say, engineer victory?
You have to, because that's the only way he knows how to play, and that's the only way you can maximize his talent. And I hate to say this, but you can't live in your
fears. You can't live in your fears.
I can't even say
it. Well, I said
laughing.
Engineer victory, so I was asking for that.
Yeah. Now, what I think they would do would put really constraints on the design runs and everything, and more the threat of the design run than the design run, to keep them honest, and really be judicious on when they say, all right, let's put it in your hands and you run the rock.
Coming up, Doug. Your thoughts on Arthur Smith's offense? We have yet to talk about the defense to this point. Also, is Troy Faltano going to make his first career start? So much to get to with Doug, and only a half hour to go. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Got social media's Biggest Loser. We don't usually do that with Doug, but it is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Doran and I have talked all week, Doug, about the result ultimately looked the same for the Steelers offense. You're not turning it over. You're not throwing it in the middle of the field. You only score 18 points, no touchdowns. We thought the process was totally different,
mm-hmm.
though, and that it looked like a professional calling plays and more like a professional at quarterback. What did you see out of Arthur Smith's first game?
No, I totally concur. I mean, it looked like someone that had a game plan and had a purpose for each play that he called. And like I said, even that semi-rollout throwback, execution was there, but it was game planned right, and it was a call that was set up by how what they had done earlier in the game. And I always talk about, I'm really good friends with Alex Van Pelt, and when he was offensive coordinator at Cleveland, he was saying interesting things about how they have an analytics department, and analytics department is like, oh, well, if you run up the gut for a yard, that's not a good play. He goes, yeah, but after I run up the gut for a yard and then I pull it and throw it for 20, what about that? And they had no answer. And that's what you're seeing with Arthur Smith. Yeah, you may get a run for 1 or 2 yards, but guess what? You pull that and then you get a nice throw. Or you next time you counter off of that and then that run goes for 8 or 9. So it's how those things set everything up, and that's what a professional play caller can do.
Can this defense be the best in the league?
The way they're playing? Absolutely. Now, the only way they can't is if they get behind and they can't play to their strengths. And that's where I can see why Mike Tomlin's like, let's just keep it close and let's lean on the strength of our team, and that's the defense. Now, imagine if they could get up 2 scores.
Oh Doug, please. It's Valhalla. My God.
Oh. So, for me, though, and this is where I go back to Pitt. Pitt showed they can win different ways. They showed they can go out and put the gas pedal down to the floor, or they showed that they can play bad and come back. I want to see a Steelers team to win in a different way than that they are built to win. And that's when you're like, we got a chance.
That is the thing that you kind of need to see from this team. Yeah. Is, all right, like, Justin Fields fumbled the first snap. If Atlanta picks that up, it could be 10-0 in a hurry. And then what happens?
Yeah.
Because you've got one specific way that you want to win that game if you're Mike Tomlin, and down 10-0, you're out of that already. Now, I think Arthur Smith will still stick with the run for a little while, and you'll try to claw back, but man, when you're playing behind the eight ball, you don't got a chance. As far as the defense, though, 24 minutes they were on the field. That's it. Seems like a pretty good recipe, too, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about, wait, how many times with Brandon Ayuk did we talk about what's a bigger need, wide receiver or cornerback? Dante Jackson?
Oh.
Sorry, buddy. You are pretty good. You are way better than what the Steelers had at number two corner last year.
No doubt about it. And I'll give him credit. I was skeptical because all the reports were they were going to cut him. And you saw what Carolina did last year, and you saw what they got skull-drugged this last week. So you're thinking, wait a minute, Carolina's going to cut a guy and the Steelers are going to start him? Like, whoa. Guess what? Some person's trash is another one's trash.
Yeah, I think part of that is contagious.
Yeah.
We all stink. We can't get the smell of playing in Carolina off of us. Sorry, Dorn, if I cut you off.
Do you think Sean Payton's a good coach?
No. I'll say this. Again, he's supposed to be he's a good offensive play caller. Is he a good coach? I'd say no, because hasn't developed one quarterback. Right? And we'll see, the jury's out on this Bo Nix. And I think that, and this is speculation, that's why he was jet-setting of Russell Wilson. Because he wanted to get a young quarterback and prove to everybody, I'm as good as everybody thinks I am, or I'm telling you I am, because I'm going to take Bo Nix and take him to where I know Russell Wilson couldn't take us. And because it's going to be on me and how I developed him, how I call plays, and how I did all this. It's about Sean Payton. It's not about winning footballs. And that's the difference between, you talk about Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's about winning football. I don't care how it is. We got Ben, we're going to throw it all over the place. We don't have Ben, we're going to keep it close. Don't turn the ball over and win with defense. That's a true coach. Win with what you have. It's not about, well, this is my system, this is how we got to do it, and I don't care. We're going to go down with the ship. And that's why I think Sean Payton is a good play caller, but not a good head coach.
It still is yet to be seen what would happen if Mike Tomlin got one of these franchise guys. It obviously didn't go well with Kenny Pickett. Was that a developmental issue? Was that they picked the wrong guy? Was it a little column A, a little column B? I think people can ask the same questions about Tomlin, and it's so funny that he then gets Russell Wilson. Now, I don't think he's concerned, to your point, about showing he's the reason why quarterback XYZ, because he's not looked at as that offensive guru, but it is a little bit, I don't even know if it's irony, but now you got Mike Tomlin with Russell Wilson, except he's not going to have Russell Wilson because it's going to be Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. What'd you see out of Hayward?
The brother or D lineman?
D lineman.
Oh. I saw a guy that is worth the money you gave him. Absolutely. I think what he brings to the table, not only what he produces, but how he attracts a lot of attention to help others produce, you got what you paid for. He's happy. It was a great signing. And like I said, it's one of those things where it was a win-win for everybody, but most importantly, it was a win for the Steeler football organization.
Mm-hmm. One more segment with Doug Whaley. A lot going on at Pitt, Doug.
Real quick before we get to that, what do you think the Browns will try to get out of this Deshaun Watson deal? Or do you think, like, what do you think is going on with that? What, like, I mean,
I think they have to. I mean, I don't know what's in that contract, but if because they signed it when he had all those allegations. Now, if they put in, hey, if you get another allegation, then you forfeit this, all this guarantee goes by. Or so I you have to get in the minutiae of the contract. But I'm sure if they're making that leap of faith, I hope that they put in something, a clause in there. If it ever pops up again, we can get out. But again, it's the Browns, so you just don't know. But I'm with that conspiracy theory where they set this, maybe push this other allegation to the forefront.
Odd timing.
Yes, just like Michigan State and Mel Tucker.
And kind of like Heather Like, which we'll get into coming up next. But listen, Deshaun Watson stinks.
Oh, that's the biggest thing.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. Like, Cleveland fans, if Deshaun Watson went out and they beat Dallas and he throws for 300 yards, Cleveland fans would be pushing that thing so far to the
side.
Fake news. It's this is ridiculous. They'd be attacking a victim who was alleging something that's horrific. If you read what was in there, he stinks. And I think Browns fans are going, well,
yep,
this is our opportunity. That's a good question, Doran. I wanted to get to that, and it totally slipped my mind. All right, we got one more segment with Doug coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One last thing here on Sean Payton, which I think we can get into this a little bit tomorrow, Doran. Payton v. Tomlin, career, compare, contrast, resumes, things of that nature. He gets all this credit for being this quarterback whisperer, this quarterback guru. I look at Drew Brees' final year in San Diego, and at least statistically, it looks an awful lot like his first five seasons with Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Like he eventually took off and was throwing like 48 touchdowns, but the first five seasons looked remarkably statistically similar to the final season in San Diego. They just needed to move on to Phillip Rivers, but I think he figured it out before he got under Sean Payton's watchful eye.
And little known fact, because I have a buddy that was in New Orleans at that time, they wanted Dante Culpepper.
Right.
They didn't want Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Dante Culpepper.
And the Dolphins decided to go with Culpepper, who was hurt, was never the same again.
And the fallback was Brees, and because they were still worried about, because he was coming off that shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, as they say, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yep.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Like, no longer the athletic director at the University of Pittsburgh, and I had wondered out loud about the timing of things, but then you start to think about it. Next year, you're going to need $20 million to pay the players. And so in the statement released by Chancellor Gable, they just wanted to go in a different direction as far as the future is concerned. So if you don't feel great about where that future is with the current athletic director, you might as well cut bait now to find someone who's going to help you. Oh, I don't know, raise $20 million a year to pay your players.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, you have to look at Heather's tenure. It was a remarkable tenure. She did a lot of good things. And like you said, just reading the tea leaves from that statement, going forward, there must have been a disconnect from where the chancellor thinks the vision for an athletic department should be and the vision that Heather was trying to sell to her. So, and I'm with you, I think it's one of those things where it's a new age and you have to embrace it. You gotta evolve or get left behind. And I guess she felt, and this is speculation, I don't know anything, but it sounds like she felt that the way that Heather was going to attack this new age of college athletics just didn't mesh with her vision.
Mm-hmm.
So again, give her mad props. I mean, look at what she's done with starting a women's lacrosse program. Look at the volleyball program, the men's women's soccer program. ACC title for the football program. So she's accomplished a lot of things. So I don't want anybody to be out there and like she was a bum.
Agreed.
No, she was not. She did a great job. But at sometimes it's one of those things where people get divorced because they just grow apart.
Yeah.
Because they just grow in different directions. And maybe the chancellor fault, she's not growing with the way this athletics in college is growing. So I wish her well, and I have nothing but great things to say about her, especially being a Pitt alum. But we'll see where it goes from now. It's going to be interesting. And like you said, the timing's interesting, but it sounds like why not do it now so you can get a start on what's coming down the pipe, and that's finding the $20 million that you have to pay these players. And because what you have to do is – set yourself up, because there's still going to be a titanic shift in college athletics.
Yep.
And I truly believe it's going to be a 1-2 power conference that take over, and you have to be able to set yourself up to be at the kid, not at the kids' table, at the big people's table. Because if you get at the kids' table, you are relegated to, remember when it was 1AA? And as a Pitt alum, I don't want to be regulated.
No.
1AA.
Nope.
I want to be at the people's table for the meal.
You guys are gonna have to tell me what that's like. I'm always at the kids' table.
Right.
simply put, and this really is boiling it down very simply, but she got hired to do a job, and the job's different now.
Yeah,
like what they're going to be hiring the next athletic director for is different than what she was hired for back then. It's just a totally
Gable,
change.
I mean, you know, new leadership. They want their own people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great call as well.
Everybody operates like that. No, my people in here.
Yeah. So sometimes the obvious thing is the think.
Don't overthink it.
Right? Yeah, exactly right. Doug, this was fun. Doran, this was fun. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we really start ramping up some backyard brawl stuff, too. Scott McKillop going to join us at 6:45, the head coach of the Pitt Panthers, Pat Narduzzi. Jacked up about it. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full term, sunchevy.com. Today, high 85.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.